From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, miracles. Here's what's happening. Tragedy in California. At least 13 people have been confirmed dead at the scene of a collision involving an overloaded SUV carrying 25 people and a semi-truck near the U.S.-Mexico border. The crash occurred in Holtville, which is a town about 125 miles outside of San Diego. What a horrible story there. California Governor Gavin Newsom has immediately blasted the Texas Governor Greg Abbott's absolutely reckless, he calls, reversal of the coronavirus restrictions. After 8 months, Abbott has announced that beginning next Wednesday, March 10th, Texans will not be required to wear masks. In a bid to reopen Texas 100%, Abbott said that he will rescind the state's previous executive orders and allow all businesses to reopen at maximum capacity. Interesting. And Merck & Company will make rival Johnson & Johnson's single-shot COVID-19 vaccine in a partnership set to be announced by U.S. President Joe Biden. Let's check in with Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. John, what do you think of the Texas governor rescinding all this?
Well, I don't know what he's been smoking, but, you know, I mean, let's be honest about this. This COVID-19 pandemic is not over yet. And I think it's a slap in the face to the Biden administration's, basically. It's a good old-fashioned, you know, Texas response, the Lone Star State. You know, they're going to just kind of go it their own way. And it may have a lot to do with the fact that this state is financially in a crisis right now because, you know, business has been shuttered and,
sure. You
know, they want that revenue back. So I think a lot of that has to do. But the biggest story of, you know, the vaccine and COVID-19 is the Sputnik V vaccine of Russia's. This was the first vaccine that was out on November 11th. Everyone was dismissing it, including the CDC and the FDA, saying there were inadequate clinical trials, phase 3 trials. And, you know, the British journal Lancet just reviewed the vaccine. This is one half the cost of the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine. And Lancet concluded the vaccine was not only safe, it was 92% effective. And Russia's Vladimir Putin, that everybody wants to sanction right now because of Alexei Navalny, has just become a massive billionaire selling vaccines all over the world, beating all of the major pharmaceutical companies to the punch. Everyone is buying it foreign countries, including European countries, essentially slapping the face of, you know, the AstraZeneca vaccine that came out of, you know, the UK, you know, joint project with Oxford University. And it's just absolutely stunning what this Gamaleya Pharmaceutical has done in Moscow. And I think, you know, you've got, you know, these U.S. companies. I mean, you heard about, you know, the Merck jumping in, you know, with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, Moderna and Pfizer. Now with George, pretty obsolete vaccines in terms of covering the, you know, the new strains of the virus. And yet the Russian vaccine, the Sputnik vaccine, has two separate dosing that goes on with it. Not just dosing, but formulas. One covers the ordinary spike protein in the coronavirus, you know, the original coronavirus. The other is covering a broader range, a broader spectrum, two different vaccines completely. So I think that's the big story. I mean, whatever Texas does, you know, how much they spike back and whatever, I think the world picture is this virus now, herd immunity, is on its way. And it's just a matter of getting these vaccines out. And I think, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel now.
Well, here in St. Louis, John, the COVID cases are way, way down as well. And I think you're right. Herd immunity is kicking in. Well, 100% of Americans are out there trying to work and do whatever they can. And then the unemployment is at a record high. But 10% of American families are at risk of foreclosure eviction during this pandemic. That's more than 11 million families. Let's check in with Chuck Koppus. It's going to be a reckoning day eventually, Chuck, isn't it?
Well, it sure is. I mean, this was the eviction moratorium, you know, started last year with the CARES Act, George. And that was out until September of last year. And then the CDC issued an order to extend this until December 2020. And that was to prevent the spread of COVID-19, they said, and so on. But that expired. So the Biden administration now has signed an EO executive order in January extending that to March 31st. That's what we're up against right now. So this is why they passed the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 last Friday. This is what the House did. It's $1.9 trillion, George. So we just keep spending, extending unemployment benefits, more checks, helping the state, vaccines, of course. And this will extend the eviction moratorium, I believe, right out there until September of this year. So, yeah, right now we've got 11 million families with $90 billion in debt. This is back rent, utilities, mortgage payments, and so on.
And they could lose their houses.
Well, they could. I mean, there's 2 million of that is families, is mortgages. You know, it has to be repaid. I mean, I feel for these people, but what about the property owners? If they don't go along, they can be fined $100,000 or more and go to jail. And the FHA, HUD, and so on, government, Fannie Mae, and so on, they're all supporting this. But this violates the Fifth Amendment, which says private property shall not be taken for public use without just compensation. That's what it says. And, you know, this is the problem with socialism and fascism. I mean, what's the rescue plan for America, I wonder?
Well, it's a tough situation, Chuck, to be sure. Chuck's website, his name, chuckkoppus.com, his book, America's Financial Reckoning Day. Eating meat regularly could carry a higher risk of a wide range of common illnesses, according to a new study. Previous studies have linked red and processed meat, like bacon or sausages, to several diseases, such as cancer. But a new study examined the relationship between meat consumption in general and 25 common illnesses other than cancer. In a moment, David Horowitz back with us. His latest book, Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. We'll talk about that next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. David Horowitz back with us, noted conservative thinker, writer, commentator, and the founder and CEO of the David Horowitz Freedom Center in Los Angeles. His mission is to defend free societies which are under attack from enemies within and without, both secular and religious, and further to defend the principles of individual freedom and the rule of law. His latest book is called Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. David, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I'm pretty good, George. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about this incredible story, Dark Agenda. What did you start seeing to get you to write this book?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I was brought up by communists, so I understand the Democrat Party today very well. And I was at war with this country in the 60s. I was one of the leaders in the 1960s. And then a friend of mine was murdered by the Black Panther Party. And all my political friends defended the Panthers. They said the white power structure killed her. And I kind of woke up. And one of the first things that occurred to me, I looked at America, and I said, the great thing about America is that, of course, being a country like all countries run by human beings, there are going to be crimes committed, there are going to be mistakes made. But America always, you know, regretted them.
Mm-hmm.
J. Edgar Hoover was once the number one hero in the country, and he had a very bad reputation at the end. So America could learn from its mistakes. And then I began to re-examine what America is about. And I realized these wonderful liberties we have. the inalienable rights. Why are they inalienable? Because they come from God. Now, I happen to be an agnostic Jew, and it was Chris Ruddy, the creator of Newsmax,
right,
who said to me, you know, it might be really interesting if you would write from the perspective of an agnostic Jew, a defense of Christians in America. And the title of my book, the subtitle, The War to Destroy Christian America. Why do I call it Christian America? Because 98% of the people who settled this country and created it were Protestant Christians. And every value that we have, that we cherish as Americans, and every freedom, equality, inclusion, diversity, liberty, these are all originate as Christian ideas. Before the Protestant Reformation, you could only get into heaven by going through the Catholic Church and its priesthood. But the reformers, the Protestant reformers, realized that the church was a human institution, and therefore was going to be subject to human corruption, and it happened to be very corrupt at the time of when the Reformation kicked off. And they came up with this incredibly revolutionary idea called the priesthood of all believers. And so what they said was that every individual created by God has a one-to-one relationship with his or her creator, not mediated through a church or a priesthood. Everybody is in direct relation with their creator. When you think about that for a minute, you see what a radical idea it is. It means everybody is, on the most basic level, equal. This included black slaves, which is why Protestant Christians led the world in abolishing slavery, something that's, you know, these very troubled times we live in with all this racist attacks on white people and on the founders of this country is forgotten. This country was created with a pledge to free the slaves, and it did so at an incredible cost, 350,000 mainly white Union soldier lives and a president were given to free the slaves.
Well, when you say dark agenda, what's their plan? I mean, whoever these people may be.
You should excuse me for saying this, but the mentality of the Democrat Party today is fascistic.
It's not all Democrats.
Not all Democrats, but you know how it works. You can see it with Cuomo. Everybody's intimidated by the bullies in the leadership, the ruthless Pelosi and people like Cuomo, and it's only when there's kind of blood in the water, when they seem fallible and they can't hurt you, that people start thinking for themselves. But the Democrat Party as a whole is against the First Amendment. I mean, what did they? Biden just locked down the Twitter account of ICE, for crying out tears. If they don't like, if you disagree with them, they shut you down. And I don't see any, I do see Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley are two liberals who defend the First Amendment. But I don't see any political figures in the Democrat Party.
Why attack God, though, David? Why go after God?
Because God is independent of the political system. It's why the truly radical ones, like the Black Lives Matter Marxists, want to do away with the family for the same reason, that they can't control God. They want to eliminate what we call civil society, all institutions that are independent of government control, putting everything under the control of the government. And the war on Christianity, it goes back goes back to the 60s when they took prayer out of the schools. For 170 years, prayer in the schools that was done every day in every public school was constitutional. And then I think the vote was six to one, six justices. Think about the Supreme Court. What is it? It's lawyers, nine lawyers, when it's a full court, nine lawyers appointed for life by politicians. How could that go wrong? So they just invented these things that prayer is unconstitutional, that abortion is a right. There's a right to privacy in the Constitution, which there isn't. And so you have a license now to kill the unborn, and even, you know, after they're born. I was actually shocked to see Democrats supporting killing a baby that's already been born. But what's happened is the country was founded on the idea that there's a higher power. And as somebody like myself who's an agnostic, I have to say, I understand that my freedoms can be taken away if there is no God. I have to respect the belief in God, because it's all that protects me from a government taking away my freedoms. And, you know, look what they've done during COVID. I mean, it's unbelievable the powers that these, you know, governors have arrogated to themselves, shutting down whole states, and then miraculously opening them once they defeated Trump. This is so dangerous. The equality bill, the Democrats are great at naming things, aren't they? The equality bill places the state over God. God says thou shalt not kill, but the Equality Act not only legalizes abortion, but enforces it on Christians who believe in the sanctity of life. If you're a Christian hospital, a Catholic hospital in particular, and don't believe in abortion, the government, you're a criminal in the eyes of the government. To me, this is the most frightening thing. The government says that a 14-year-old girl who has gender dysphoria is a little confused, as adolescents are, and she wants her breasts amputated. Jeez. If you're a Catholic hospital and you don't do that because of your religious beliefs, you're a criminal. This is such a dangerous bill, this Equality Act. And again, I wish I saw Democrats opposing it, but I don't. And so this really, I feel our country is in terrible peril at this point in time. My book, Dark Agenda, describes the attacks, the series of attacks on religious freedom that began with the taking prayer out of the schools and taking God out. Where did we get our freedoms? We got them from Protestant Christians who were fleeing Europe because they were persecuted by state religions. That's how we have our freedoms, and that's why we have our freedoms. You can't teach that to public school kids. You can't mention that the Pilgrims were Christians escaping religious persecution. So the most, you know, the foundation of our freedoms today is in peril. We have our universities. For 20 years, I had to take a bodyguard to speak at a university
Bodinger. David, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about this attack. Dark Agenda, the war to destroy Christian America. We'll take calls with David Horowitz next hour here on Coast to Coast AM. His website, all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Kind of frightening, isn't it, to hear all this? But it's happening. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with David Horowitz. He was on with me about 10 months ago as we talked about his book, Blitz. His latest one is called Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. How far have they progressed, David, to destroy Christian America? How far has it gone?
Well, what they've done, you know, I hate it when conservatives call them liberals, because they're vindictive bigots is what they are. In my book, Dark Agenda, I describe the treatment of Vice President Mike Pence. Now, Mike, whatever you think of Mike Pence, he's one of the most decent human beings in the political world.
He's a good guy. And, he's a plain good guy, isn't he?
Yeah. And when Pete Buttigieg, who's typical, the guy's formerly a Christian, but he's an anti-Christian bigot, because what the left wants to do is to outlaw, for them, freedom of religion means you can have whatever ideas you like as long as you can keep them to yourself, which is not freedom of religion. The First Amendment talks about freedom of expression, of religious expression. So when Pete Buttigieg announced that he was gay and brought out his husband, Mike Pence was the governor of Indiana, and he went out of his way to praise Buttigieg as a good mayor of South Bend. He's actually a terrible mayor of South Bend. Had all kinds of race problems, crime problems, but this was just Mike Pence's graciousness. And this was repaid by Buttigieg by calling him all kinds of names because Mike Pence does not believe in gay marriage. The way he interprets his Christian views is that a marriage is between a man and a woman. We used to have a country where you had a freedom to, you know, think anything that you wanted, really, as long as you weren't harming some person. Mm-hmm. And for Mike Pence to think that gay marriage is wrong does not harm anybody. The fact is, Rick Grenell, who was the acting director, Trump made him acting director of DNI, the Defense Intelligence, National Intelligence Agency. Rick Grenell is gay and he has a husband, and he was guest in the Pence household. So Mike Pence, you know, is actually a very Christian. He treats, you know, it's you hate the sin but not the sinner, whatever it is. You treat your fellow human beings humanely, which he does.
Well, when did this attack, though, David? When did this attack on Christianity start?
Well, my book goes back to the 60s and the prayer in the schools, because the next thing they did was you can't mention God in the schools. Then they outlawed. There was a coach who prayed with his football team.
Oh, my God.
Before every game, they outlawed that. I mean, it's just a war.
They probably started losing after they stopped praying, right?
Yeah. It's just a war on freedom of conscience, which is what it is, and religious expression. That's the First Amendment. It's the First Amendment for a reason. It's the basis of all your freedoms. If you can't have ideas that other people don't like, and you aren't allowed to express them as ideas, you can't defend any freedom that you have.
You know, David, when we take calls with you next hour, you're probably going to get some calls from some atheists, because we do have them that listen to this show.
That's a religious faith.
That's, you know, they're entitled to their beliefs.
Yeah, nobody knows. Nobody can know if there's a God or not. To believe in God is a faith, and to believe that there's no God is also a faith. Sure.
Are you?
They're losing America as we speak. Look what happened. Was this today? Dr. Seuss, the president of the United States is banning Dr. Seuss. They don't even show you what are supposed to be offensive cartoons. I mean, that's the other terrible thing that's happened is this, shutdown where they want to shut down Newsmax, OAN, and Fox. Anybody who disagrees with them, they want to silence and suppress. That's why I say they're fascistic. I don't know any other term to use. You know, I could say they're communist.
Well, and they're doing it on social media, too. If you say something that goes against the grain or its opinion and you're not hurting anybody, you're not being vulgar or anything like that, they still shut you down.
It's like sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's what I grew up with. But that America is gone.
How do you turn this around, though, David?
Well, I think people have to get some courage. You'll excuse me for saying this. And let me be a little squeamish and say...
Well, be careful. You're on the radio here.
I marched in my first civil rights demonstration in 1948, if you can believe it. But there's a rampant anti-white racism in this country that has engulfed the Democrat Party. The idea that everybody who has white skin is a racist and participates in a racist culture is disgusting.
Well, we know that's
it's
not
no
true.
Different from the Ku Klux Klan, they just reversed the colors. To condemn people for their skin color. But that's what's going on in our country. And, I think it's quite frightening.
Is this happening in other countries, too?
Yeah, it's certainly happening in Europe. You know, there's more fight. You asked me the question, how do we reverse it? The first thing is people have to get the courage to say what I just said. You know, anti-white racism is racism. Pure and simple. The whole Black Lives Matter movement, that's a racist movement and it's violent. You can't be intimidated from saying such things and have your freedoms. You have to exercise them.
I think though that with Black
people are kind of fed up. I hear from the left and from the Democrats, Blacks are oppressed in America because they're marginalized. What a joke. Blacks are the center of attention in our country. You can't turn on the television and not see the black channels, black programs, every other advertisement has an integrated couple on it. It's crazy. There's no group in America that has more skin privileges granted by government than black people. And yet nobody is ready to challenge them and say, blacks are not marginalized.
They used to be, though, David. You know that.
Yeah, but, how long are we going to flagellate ourselves for things that happened 50 and 100 years ago? The fact of the matter is it's 2021, the Civil Rights Act. The President of the United States, this compulsive liar, Biden, said on virtually the first day he took office that systemic racism touches every aspect of American life. Systemic racism was outlawed in 1964 with the Civil Rights Act. And you know damn well that even assume that every white person, which Democrats seem to assume, is a racist, there are thousands of black lawyers, black prosecutors, black attorneys, black attorney generals, black judges, black city council members and mayors, black police chiefs. If there was any systemic racism in America that Democrats didn't support, there would be a tsunami of lawsuits, wouldn't there? People would be collecting huge sums of money, because to be systemically racist and to have institutional racism is against the law in this country. There are no massive suits like that, because there's no such, there is no, you know what systemic racism is? Affirmative action. Well, on the basis of skin color, you get to go to the head of the job line. You get to go to the head of the line to get.
Yeah, but David, we're as nonpartisan on this show as you could probably get with any talk show in the country. But, you know, there are many people who lean left who are not racist, who do not believe in, you know, racism from black or white. You know that.
That's true. Look, and you know, that's true. That's where the hope lies. There are a lot of courageous black people, like Burgess Owens and Herschel Walker, who are speaking out.
We lost Vernon Jordan today, who was a great man. Great man. And, I mean, he was with the Urban League and everything else.
Yeah, well, we're talking about reparations. When reparations was first raised in around 1960, the Urban League, which would be Vernon Jordan, the NAACP, and the Congress on Racial Equality, the three major civil rights organizations, were all opposed to reparations.
Well, let's
alive who is a slave. There's not even anybody alive who's a child of slaves.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with God?
Well, I don't know how we got off on this.
Yeah, like, either do I. I mean, we've gone from the attack on Christianity.
Well, because you have to ask yourself, why are they attacking Christianity? And it's because they're leftists and they hate America. And they hate, you can, look, tearing down statues of Abraham Lincoln, George Washington. They hate America. They think that the New York Times has a 1619 project, which says that America was founded in 1619.
Appropriate that is. My gosh, my gosh. Anyways, we're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take calls with David Horowitz. Dark Agenda next on Coast to Coast AM.